Good afternoon. You're listening to Classical Music here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm your host for this hour, Matt Jackford. Joining me today is a very special guest flautist, Lindsay Goodman, the principal flutist with the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra, here live in person. She's going to play a little bit, talk about the release of her new CD, Reach Through the Sky, from New Dynamic Records, released very recently. Welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt. It's a pleasure to be back here at WVPR.
Yeah, so this is your debut album, right? Or we should say, right?
It is. It's the very first album that features all works performed by me. I'm very excited about the release.
Right, so you've been on other CDs, but this is the first one that's all Lindsay Goodman.
Exactly.
Okay, that's great. And this was released pretty recently.
Yes, just this past Sunday. I just got back from New York City where we had a big official release concert and party, and the disc is officially available now.
Great, and where can you get that disc if we were looking for it?
You can get it at cdbaby.com, either as a order of a physical disc or a download immediately, or through newdynamicrecords.net, and pretty soon it'll be up on iTunes as well.
All right, that's a good way to get it. So this has you playing flute, but also alto flute, not just regular old flute. We have alto flute, and it also features your voice as well. You're a mezzo soprano, so you do a little bit of singing, correct?
Absolutely. I get to be featured as a triple threat, I guess.
Yeah, okay. And so what songs are you singing on in this album?
There's some voice on a number of pieces. The biggest feature is by composer Jeffrey Nitsch. It's a work called Covenant with a poem by poet Jessica Malilly Hand. And so that's for soprano, flute, alto flute, and mezzo soprano. So I sing the entire thing. But then there are also sung selections on works by Eric Stem, trio called New Year's, and on a solo flute piece with electronics by Rob Diemer called The Road from Hana. So there's a little bit of voice peppered in everywhere.
Right. And we'll be hearing from some of those selections here this afternoon. And it's not just Lindsay Goodman. There are some special guests you bring on, and that includes Assembly. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I was really pleased when I had the opportunity to do this disc that I wanted to make sure that it wasn't simply a vanity project, that I was going to take as many people along with this on this ride as I could. And that includes two of my chamber groups. Assembly has been here live on the air with you in the studio. That's Scott Christian on percussion and Anna Waltner on piano.
Who also play with the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And all of us at one point in time have also taught at West Virginia State University. So we all have those West Virginia ties. The disc also features my duo partner, Rob Frankenberry. We have a duo called Chrysalis, which is for singing flutist and singing pianist, which is also on the disc. Yes, Gilda Lyons Chrysalis from the disc also features voice.
So he sings tenor on that, right?
Yes, he's an operatic tenor and also a fantastic pianist. So we get to collaborate and do a lot of different things on that work.
And what sorts of other composers are we going to hear on this album?
Well, the wonderful thing is that they're all living American composers, and each work on the disc is actually something that I commissioned. So all of these works were written for me. We also have works by Judith Shayton, who is based in Virginia, and West Virginia's own Grant Cooper, in addition to the composers I've already mentioned.
That's right, and we'll be hearing from his piece, Other Voices, also this afternoon. So, Lindsay, I consider you sort of a pioneer of new music performance, and this CD is certainly a reflection of that. What are your thoughts on new music in the classical world? And, you know, a lot of orchestras tend to play Beethoven, Schumann, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I love dead composers, too. But when it comes to actually getting to collaborate one-on-one and create something new, Beethoven never returns my calls.
Yeah, right.
I really prefer my composers live.
Or his email, either.
He doesn't. He's a real slack about that.
Yeah.
I prefer my composers live. I really think that you and me, everyone listening to the radio today, we're living in 2016 America. And our personal experience on the planet is shaped very much by being alive now and living where we live. And so to me, our art, our music should reflect the times in which we live. And that can only happen if we really collaborate with new living composers to create new works. It's like the tag they use on Composer's Datebook here on NPR. All music was once new.
Yeah.
And if there's no music of today, there can be no music of tomorrow. So new music is where it's at for me.
good point. And it's really good to be able to sort of speak in the language of today. You sort of hear the cadences of speech today, maybe different than, you know, 100 years ago, or the emotions that we feel, or, you know, the cities that we live in are all different. So I think the music and the harmonic language that we use should reflect that. And it seems that the CD does reflect that. And it's very nice to hear some new composers, living composers on this CD. So you not only play acoustic music, but also electroacoustic music, right? Which it combines electronic medium with the instrumental world. What is about electronic music that draws you in?
You know what? It's nearly the same answer as to why I do new music. I don't know about everybody listening out there today, but if you know me, you know I can't go more than 15 minutes without checking my iPhone. I have an addiction to technology. And we are all impacted by technology every single day of our lives. And so to me, if our art needs to reflect the world we live in, it needs to reflect the fact that technology is a really big part of it. And there's no better way of doing that than collaborating live with electronics. So on this disc, you'll hear some pieces in which I'm playing along with a fixed media track. You'll hear some pieces in which I'm playing with electronically reproduced reverberation. And I also do works that utilize live processed electronics using computer software to create the accompaniment in real time. And all of these are really great ways of bonding art making and centuries, thousands of years old practice with something that's really of today.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, let's get to listening to some of these tracks. Let's take a listen to first The Road to Hana by Rod Demer. And do you have a small setup for this?
Absolutely. This piece features me on flute with a pre-recorded flute choir of 6 alto flutes, which I recorded in the studio. So everything you hear is me.
Yeah, and so this is only possible with electronic music today.
Absolutely. Thank goodness there are not 7 Lindsey Goodmans.
Well, let's listen to The Road to Hana by Rod Demer. Lindsey will be on flute, alto flute, and singing mezzo-soprano.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Road to Hana by Rob Diemer. We heard Lindsey Goodman on flute, alto flute, and mezzo-soprano, and there were several layers of that alto flute and regular flute in there, and that was nice, a very haunting piece, very lovely piece, Lindsey.
Thanks. I think Rob really outdid himself on that particular work, capturing the landscape and feel of being on the road to Hana in Maui, Hawaii. So
yeah,
there was your beach vacation for the day.
Yeah, right, right. And how did he notate all those different flute lines? Did he split the staffs up into maybe six staves at one point?
Rob, at the time that he had written this piece, had only written, I believe, acoustic music. So he wrote a straight up flute choir score. And so it looks like a flute choir piece for a solo flute with six accompaniment parts, but you're not going to find six alto flutists in the same room. So it's the sort of piece that can only be done through the magic of technology.
Right, right. Well, that was a lovely piece and a great performance too. So what was the recording process like? Where did you go to record?
The whole disc is through New Dynamic Records, which is an independent new music label out of Indiana University Southeast, just outside of Louisville, Kentucky, on the other side in Indiana. And they specialize in releasing only music by living American composers. And they were just a dream to work with. I was out there at IU Southeast for an entire week recording, and I also gave a presentation to the students and gave a full recital, and it was a really fantastic collaborative process. They were really wonderful folks to work with.
Yeah, and composer Eric Stimm is one of the founders of—
Yes, he's the founder. He's the artistic director of the label, and he acted as producer for this as well. And I'm also honored to have one of his pieces written just for me and my trio on this disc as well.
Yeah, and we'll listen to the first movement of that here in just a moment. So speaking of production, did you— when you recorded this, did you take these pieces chunk by chunk, or did you do several full takes and then choose from that? Or how did that work? How did that process work?
Yeah, the recording process is always pretty individual, I think, depending on the performer and the piece at hand. Most of the pieces were cut into small chunks that overlapped a little bit so that you'd be able to cut and splice at will. Mm-hmm. Some of the works, which were for fixed media, where the accompaniment's always the same, were in larger chunks because you could splice pretty much anywhere. The chamber pieces, where perhaps there are more people involved, we had to do in smaller chunks. The piece by Gilda Lyons called Chrysalis, it's all improvised. So each of those— Ooh. —five short movements had to be done as complete takes, and we would just have to pick one take to— Yeah. —go on the disc. And so I think that was actually the most stressful part of the process, because while it's very well notated, there's a lot of extended techniques and a lot of flexibility. And so it was a fun risk to be doing that in the studio.
Right. And so on Eric Stimm's piece, New Year's, you join with Assembly, right?
Yes.
Scott Christian and Anna Waltner. And how was that recording with them in the studio?
It was fantastic. They are just wonderful musical soulmates, and I really enjoy working with them. We also will have our own CD coming out later this year or early next year of all Assembly, but I'm so glad that the trio can be first featured on this particular disc with me.
And so you played this on our airwaves live before with Assembly. So do you want to give just a short spiel on New Year's, the first movement, A Watching Crane?
Yes, absolutely. We were on the tour premiering this piece when we came and played live at WVPR. And so this audience was one of the first to hear it. Eric Stimm is based in Indiana as the head of New Dynamic Records. And his piece is really beautiful and haunting because it's based on Japanese haiku. So you're going to hear me singing in Japanese on this track. And everything about the piece is so beautifully and meticulously constructed. It feels like a tiny little Zen garden of gorgeous sound.
Well, let's listen to New Year's by Eric Stimm. This is the first movement, A Watching Crane. And we'll hear Assembly, Lindsey Goodman on alto flute and mezzo-soprano, Scott Christian playing percussion, and Anna Waltner on piano. ¶¶ That was the first movement of New Year's by Eric Stem, and that movement was called A Watching Crane. We had a performance by Lindsay Goodman on alto flute and singing mezzo-soprano, Scott Christian on percussion, and Anna Waltner on piano as part of a trio called Assembly. And they're on Lindsay Goodman's debut album, Reach Through the Sky, and Lindsay Goodman's here with me in the studio. Say hi, Lindsay.
Hey there.
And Lindsay's going to play a little bit live for us here. Another track on the CD is by a local composer I think we all know, and that is Maestro Grant Cooper of the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra. And his piece is called Other Voices. Do you want to talk a little bit about that piece?
Absolutely. It's a two-movement work. The first movement is slow and introspective. The second movement is fiery and virtuosic. And this piece was written by Grant in 2010 for me. I've now had it. This will be the third time it's on West Virginia Public Radio.
Yeah.
The second time I've played it live in studio and the third time it's been broadcast. But this is a homegrown piece right from West Virginia. So what I was talking about earlier about how our art should reflect our circumstances, it doesn't reflect more than somebody who lives and works in your backyard.
Right. That's true. And this piece is somewhat reflective, I would say, because of the heavy reverb we're going to put on. It's somewhat reflective of maybe the echoing around the mountains of Appalachia. Maybe. I don't know. That might be getting a little deep there.
I like that interpretation. And see, that's the wonderful thing about music is that it's completely open to interpretation. It's able to go into the inner reaches of your imagination and allow you to find your own truth for that music. So I really like that idea, Matt.
Absolutely. Well, let's give Lindsay a couple of seconds to get on her flute, and we'll listen to Other Voices, the first movement by Grant Cooper. And Lindsay is warming up her flute over there, and she looks like she's about ready. So, you know, well, let's take a listen to Other Voices by Grant Cooper. And this is the first movement, which is also called Other Voices. Yeah, that's a beautiful piece right there. Other Voices by Grant Cooper. It's a fantasy for flute. And that was the first movement, also called Other Voices. And we heard a live performance by Lindsay Goodman. And that piece is on her album, Reach Through the Sky, but we heard a live performance there. Thanks for that, Lindsay. That was wonderful.
I'm so glad to be able to share it live here in the studio with you.
Yeah, well, I remember that I think this is the piece that Maestro Grant Cooper used an interesting sort of system for notating dynamics.
He did. So if you're familiar with notating traditional Western art music dynamics, we generally use a piano to forte scale, mm-hmm. sometimes as many as four pianos or four fortes if you're playing, Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, Wagner or something.
Exactly. But even with those options, it can sometimes feel really limiting. And so Grant decided that it would be best if we used a 0 to 10 scale. And that provided us some more options for mm-hmm. dynamic gradations throughout. And that's the first time I've ever done something like that. But because it was such a collaborative process to be writing a new piece and working on it, it seemed to grow really naturally from that process.
Right. And it gives you a lot more choices to go for, I think. And piano to forte, you know, there might be four choices in between there. But you could expand it to maybe eight choices. But 10 gives you a lot of flexibility. And it really goes well with, I would say, today's sort of metric. I think about how I write music sometimes on using audio software, and you're using a fader or something. You know, it's something very mathematical about that seems very exact and goes hand in hand with today's sort of music.
Absolutely. Everything's quantifiable nowadays.
That's okay. You just summed up what I just said in about five words. Lindsay, you have another commission also, right? And that's going to be on a performance tonight at West Virginia State University. Now, where is that exactly?
West Virginia State University. Tonight, I'm giving a CD release concert featuring a lot of works off this disc. It's out in Institute, West Virginia, and the free 7:30 p.m. performance is in the Belcher Theater of the John W. Davis Fine Arts Building.
And you have something, a little special surprise at the end of the concert?
I sure do, because not only will you get a free concert of 60 minutes of super fresh new flute music, there's also a reception catered by Charleston's own Ellen's Homemade Ice Cream.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Right. I could use some of that right now. So you have a commission that you're going to play on that concert?
Absolutely. Most of the works on tonight's performance are off Reach Through the Sky, so you can hear it there first. But because everything on the disc is a commissioned work, a brand new piece that was written for me, I haven't stopped that process of working with composers since I released the disc. In fact, tonight there are two pieces which have gotten their premieres as recently as February and last Sunday. So there are two fresh new pieces tonight, and I'm going to play one of them live for you now, and that's by Linda Kernahan. It's a solo flute work called Demon Daemon.
Oh, that sounds interesting. It sounds devilish, maybe?
A little bit. Linda talks about how we each have a demon inside of us. That demon is the sort of destructive portion of our inner mind, and a daemon inside of us, the creative side. And unless we really tend to those two idioms, they're going to cause trouble for us. And I think that's what this piece tries to express.
Okay, well, let's give Lindsay a couple seconds to get set up again with her flute there. And she's going to perform Linda Kernahan's Demon Daemon. Now, Lindsay looks like she's all ready to go over there, and looks like she's ready to go. Demon Daemon by Linda Kernahan. That was a wild piece. I like that a lot. That was Linda Kernahan's Demon Daemon. And we heard a lot of speech there. We heard some breathing techniques, and we heard singing there. Yeah. How did she notate all of that?
It's a really cool piece because it uses a lot of extended techniques, as you were just talking about. And those are ways of playing traditional instruments in atraditional ways. So you heard a whole bunch of flutter tonguing where we roll our R's into the flute. There was a lot of, speaking or whispering across the head joint, specific quotes, biblical in nature. Mm-hmm. And then, notated breathing techniques, which she used triangular note heads rather than your regular oval ones. A triangle facing upward indicates that I'm supposed to breathe in and gasp. And a one facing downwards means I'm supposed to forcibly expel air to create this feeling of frenzy.
Wow. Yeah, that was really interesting. You could hear the sort of contrast between the pleasant side and a more destructive side, maybe. And it almost sounded like you were speaking in tongues maybe at one point. That was really cool.
I love that idea.
That was really cool. So hear that tonight at West Virginia State University. That performance is at 7:30. Lindsay Goodman will be having a concert there. And check out her CD, Reach Through the Sky, that's just debuted very recently. Check it out. You can get it from New Dynamic Records. Any last words, Lindsay?
I just want to say thank you, Matt, for having me on to talk and share some music, both live and recorded. It's always a pleasure to be sharing thoughts, ideas, and music with the West Virginia public.